Dan Richardson, who is a patron, bought a little time on the show, asked us to pass along some reminders for dog owners during the hot summer months. I'm a dog owner. I love my dog. These are pretty important tips.
Hey, here's one. If you can put your hand on the sidewalk before you take your dog out for a walk, if you can't keep your hand there for 5 seconds without pulling it off because it's too hot, it's probably too hot for your dog too.
Yeah.
So don't take your dog for a walk if you can't do the 5 second test.
All their little paws.
Thanks, Dan, for keeping dogs safe through our show.
Just picture them trying to keep all their paws off the ground and they can't do it because you can only lift a couple at a time because they're dogs. It's cute, but it's not safe. It's just a bunch of me's just like, my faucet's leaking. I don't know. It's too warm. And you're just like, ah!
I don't know Kung Fu.
We have concerns. Hi, Jeff Cannata.
Hi, Anthony Carboni.
Hello, concerned citizens. You know, Kepler found another planet. We found the 12th exoplanet that Kepler's found.
This is exciting.
It's exciting. It's being listed as Earth-like.
Earth-like.
Earth-like. The problem is there are a lot of ways something can be Earth-like, right?
Yeah.
It is in the Goldilocks zone for its star. Its star is very similar to ours.
Right? Like that?
Earth-like.
Yeah.
Sure. It's
and
kind
it's,
of
the same sort of close to the distance.
Yeah. That's the
that
Goldilocks
star.
Zone. The Goldilocks zone is like where a sun would be warm enough.
Just right.
Yeah. But, you know, other than that,
so
it's
moving there.
It's not very Earth-like. There aren't a lot of Earth-like things about it. That's kind of the science journalism headline to get you to click on the story.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're finding more and more of these planets, and it seems inevitable that there will be alien life.
Well, let's find it.
Yeah.
We should find that alien life.
Well, Stephen Hawking is actually trying to do that now.
Yeah.
He's thrown his hat into the ring along with a Russian entrepreneur to the tune of $100 million.
Yeah.
And they're starting a new project. He's creating something sort of like SETI at home.
Ooh.
You know SETI, the search for extraterrestrial intelligence.
Yeah.
We basically...
Well, we ping out into the universe.
Well, we don't ping.
We listen.
We listen.
We listen for pings.
We listen for pings. We don't ping.
Right.
Then there's a very big reason why we don't ping, but we listen. And but the thing is, for SETI... We only really, you think SETI is listening all the time. It's not.
No?
SETI listens for just a few peak hours at a time.
SETI's super lazy.
SETI is not lazy. SETI's underfunded. SETI is underfunded. They can't afford to do it all the time.
Some of the power costs just to flip that switch on to listen for SETI.
Please.
I mean, come on. You see the rates these days?
I run my air conditioner all day. And
oh, wow. Look at you, Mr. Daddy Warbucks.
Exactly. I'm going to run a giant dish that searches for alien life and then crunches the numbers? No.
No.
That's expensive. So the deal is this project will search for alien life constantly.
Mm. Okay.
All the time.
How are we doing that?
It's basically the same. It's listening for communications. It's trying to search through different spectrums and different wavelengths, and it's looking for patterns. It's looking for anything that sounds like a communication waveform.
So he figured out funding?
This guy's got $100 million and he's putting $100 million into it.
All right.
Crazy
like
Russian
that.
Billionaires, man.
I love it.
The second
now,
a crazy
a,
Russian billionaire puts their, but that's the thing, like, right? Like,
is there a chance the crazy Russian billionaire is also a Bond villain? And he's,
there's always a chance.
He put his $100 million into listening for aliens. Maybe he's got some ulterior motives.
I would say more than a chance. I would say it's almost for sure.
All we need to do is build moon base to listen for. We listen for aliens.
We need a moon base. It seems rather extravagant for our needs.
Listen, I'm funding this from my own personal fortune. I want moon base. I want moon base and maybe some space tanks. Steven, did you go offline?
I'm still here, just typing so many things.
And, you know, everybody who's involved with this venture is like, yeah, we're going to find aliens, we're going to find life, and they're all super positive about it. Here's the thing. Stephen Hawking doesn't want to find aliens.
Yeah, he's not positive. He's positive. He wants to listen for aliens because he wants to know when it's time to go into his bunker.
He wants to know when we're fucked. Stephen Hawking famously believes that any alien civilization that is sufficiently advanced to visit us.
Yeah, or send out pings to us.
Or communicate with us is probably coming to destroy us. He genuinely believes this. He believes that any advanced alien race would probably have expanded in order to search for new places to live and new resources. That's right. The main reason to expand. And so they would basically expand, find a beautiful jewel of a planet.
And destroy it.
And just...
just terraform
it. Yeah, just like, fuck you guys. All you're doing with it is making new seasons of The Bachelorette anyway. I'm sorry, Caitlin. I love you. I hope you find happiness.
So the idea is that these kinds of worlds, these kinds of habitable planets are mm-hmm. so rare in the cosmos that any other one that has an alien race that has progressed to the point where it can expand beyond its world and get out to us is also gotten to the point where it needs our precious, precious resources.
Yeah.
And so if it is powerful enough to transcend the space between us, then it also is powerful enough to squash us like an ant.
Yes. Yeah. And not only powerful enough to, inclined to.
Yeah.
This is a race that is inclined to do those sort of things.
Is that just stinking thinking?
Well,
what if they're benevolent, benevolent overlords?
So Hawking and Sagan had a lot of arguments about this. You know, Sagan sent out the Voyager probe with the Golden Record.
Golden Record,
and
yeah.
he was the guy who kind of spearheaded that. And he believes that any alien race that got to the point of interstellar travel would actually be an altruistic race because
they didn't destroy themselves on the way.
They would have to work together
yeah.
to get to the point of interstellar travel. And that kind of comes back to the great filter, which we've talked about before, like in one of our early, early, early episodes.
I think it might have been one of the very first episodes we ever did with on the Fermi paradox.
Yeah. So, but the great filter is kind of part of the Fermi paradox, which is like, look, why haven't we found anybody else?
Right.
If there are all these aliens out there.
Not only is it a gigantic universe, it's also an extremely old universe.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't start evolving until well into that timeline. So chances are there is somebody that evolved earlier than we did and got past where we did.
Yeah.
Why don't we see any evidence of them?
So, and there are a few things like recorded history, right? We only started recording history. There was only like sort of written cave, whatever. Like even pictograms mm-hmm. go back like 10,000 years, 12,000 years, something like that. Hey, maybe aliens did come. Maybe they showed up and they were like, they showed up ready to party. Not so ready to party.
Didn't they drop some stuff in our volcanoes? I heard that from somebody.
Oh yeah, space criminals.
Right.
They dropped space criminals
in our volcanoes.
And particles of those things mm-hmm. are still on us. And if you give a lot of money to Mission Impossible 5, I don't understand how
it
works.
Sure that's accurate.
That's accurate. But no, so like say they came 10, 12,000 or, you know, 20,000 years ago and, you know, they found some very early ancestors of ours.
Yeah.
And we're just like, dudes, we're so psyched. So psyched to be here on your planet. We're so happy we found you. We brought Catan. You guys like Catan? That's okay. Think about it. I understand. It's an investment. It's like 2 hours sometimes. Listen, we are so excited to come. Why don't you take us to your biggest city, like the jewel of your civilization? We would love to see it. We want to talk. We want to share ideas. We want to...
fire.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit. Dave!
Hey, how's it going, Kelvin? Did you show him Catan?
Dave, what did you put into the navigation computer?
It's that sweet world we saw.
I know it's a sweet world. Did you look or did you just go, Dave?
Well, I just went, but I figured they'd dig Catan. Is the Catan not going over well?
He's eating it. They're not real sheep.
Did he eat the sheep? Did you offer him brick?
I did.
Brick for sheep, man.
No, I know brick for sheep. Start the car.
We're leaving?
We're leaving, Dave. And I'm navigating. The universe is billions of years old.
Yeah.
It's entirely, we've crossed paths. Missed connections in the intergalactic Craigslist.
They came here, it didn't go well, and then they just never came back? That doesn't seem very likely to me.
No, that doesn't seem likely to a lot of people either. There are other theories where like, hey, we are sort of like the Inuit. We're sort of like the Inuit when European explorers started coming to North America, right? The Inuit were there.
Yeah. They're just
They're kind of off
we're
in
so
the
beneath their
Well, no, they're not ignoring. They're just not seeing because the Inuit are off in the northwest corner of the United States.
Right.
Took us a while to get there.
That's the what Douglas Adams calls that, the small, unremarkable part of the arm of the Milky Way galaxy.
Exactly. We're like Arthur Denting right now.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, yeah, it's out there, but it's like way out there and it's really not worth going to.
And in order for them to build an intergalactic bypass, then they might have to find us.
Yeah. I mean, there's the whole idea, and this is very popular in sci-fi, where it's just like, oh, they're just waiting for us to be ready.
Right.
They're waiting. They won't interfere. Federation style. They're waiting for us to be. Fuck you. They're not waiting. I don't believe that one.
Yeah.
If they were out there, we would know. The other thing is like, hey, maybe our technology, we're searching for radio frequencies. We're searching for radio waves. Maybe they're laughing at us because we're searching for radio waves.
Right.
Maybe it takes them 37 years to say, hi, how are you?
Right. They have a completely different time.
Like, who knows? We're just searching with the wrong shit.
Or they're sending us messages right now on a in a method that we can't even read.
One of the biggest ones, and something that Hawking kind of believes, is the predator theory. Not Predator 2.
Oh, good.
Yeah, goodness. It's
not
like
the Danny Glover.
No, not the Danny Glover one. He likes Predator and he likes Predators. And he enjoys some of the Dark Horse Alien vs. Predator stuff.
Yeah, but not the film.
Not the film. The
film screwed it all.
No.
Yeah.
Stephen Hawking has really good taste. But no.
I'm not surprised.
The Predator theory is like, yo, we're really dumb for listening and trying to find.
But we're really good at killing
shit? No, because every other civilization is keeping their mouths shut because they know.
There's one big dog out there.
If you yell, they come at you. They come at night, mostly.
It's Galactus is out there.
Yeah.
And the Eater of Worlds will come if he hears. It's like the deer in the woods who, you know, he's hanging out. There's a bear in the woods. He's not going to be like, everybody, there's a party in the woods.
Hey!
Look how supple my hindquarters are.
Look at all those bright orange animals. I've never seen those. Hello? Hello? Oh! They brought a thing! I don't know what that's about! Hello?
Come over here!
What? That's so loud from all the way over there! They're so excited to see us!
I have extra vegetables for you to eat!
Yeah! I saved you a pine cone! You guys. Steven was so excited, he just dropped dead! Guys, can you help us? Our friend just dropped dead. You loud guys. That's kind of like what. That's kind of like one of the theories that Hawking sort of ascribes to is like
we are the deer that is just kind of wobbly trying to walk, and we don't want to attract any attention of predators.
Well, that's why even Sagan is like, listen, SETI, searching, cool, listening, great.
Yeah.
But even Sagan was like, dude. We don't want to broadcast. We do not want to broadcast because he literally said it was like being a tiny animal in a jungle that it doesn't understand screaming. It was like being that deer.
Yeah.
So don't be that deer. Chill for a second. Look around. Yeah. Get your bearings. Understand the jungle. And then you can start screaming in the jungle.
So what is this plan that he has? He's now, we're going to be listening all the time. It has a lot more funding.
This is 24/7 all the time. They're doing a distributed client as well, kind of like SETI did. So like, you remember SETI at home?
Yeah.
Everybody was running that. They even want to do a mobile version that uses cycles on your phone.
Sweet.
Yeah. Cause that's.
In case you get a telephone call from an alien. I don't recognize this number.
Hello? Hello? I can't understand you.
Sorry. Can you give me directions to your home world that seems to have lots of water?
Sure, man. I'll drop a pin here and I'll just send you text you the coordinates.
Do you have diamonds on your planet?
Oh, yes. Tons, actually. A lot more than you would think. In fact, there's like big silos of them. But
would you say, and this is just like, number one, thank you so much for helping.
Is this a sales call?
No, this is not a sales call.
Okay,
I'm sorry.
I don't take any solicitations.
No. I just, would you, from a scale of 1 to 10, how resistant to mind control would you say your species is?
I mean, I downloaded a bunch of new emojis. So I'd say I pretty much go with the flow. What everybody else is doing, I just kind of do it.
Great. Great.
Yeah.
This is, you call it the Milky Way. That's what it is. The Milky Way.
Yeah. Yeah. Milky Way galaxy.
Milky Way. Great. Okay.
I mean, cool. I can be more specific.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of, that's big.
Yeah.
I'll just drop a pin.
Drop a pin. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's great. You will bow to our glorious race. Goodbye.
Wait, what? What was that last
one? See you later.
I was going to say, like, searching for intelligent life on my phone. I just think it's really funny that Stephen Hawking is as brilliant as he is, and he doesn't understand the battery life of mobile phones. Stephen Hawking's like, yeah, this sounds like a great idea. Actually, Stephen Hawking probably is like, yeah, fuck you guys and your phone calls anyway. He's like,
he
always
care.
Talking about bullshit and texting and whatever.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, install this on your phones. I don't care if your phone lasts for an hour. I'm Stephen fucking Hawking.
I have all those extra clock cycles that my battery's just going to drain like a motherfucker.
Yeah, who cares?
Yeah.
Who cares?
He doesn't care.
He doesn't care. He doesn't care about your bullshit.
That Russian billionaire certainly doesn't care.
He doesn't care about anything.
Yeah.
And I want to know what his ulterior motives are, because you're right. Like, I don't trust a Russian billionaire.
I just want to meet alien, and I want to have alien friend, and maybe then just kind of take over planet with alien friend.
Once again, feeling less and less confident about this partnership.
Steven, just take my money. We build glorious new world in your image and my image, and then less and less your image, and then all my image. And we have a space tank. Did I mention space tank? Space tank, very, very nice to drive around. Have you ever driven space tank? We just put your wheelchair right in there. Steven? Steven,
no,
where are you going?
No, I'm still listening.
Steven, come back.
You can't tell because I always look the same, but still super into this.
Steven.
Still listening. Don't worry. Very, very interested.
I don't know. You seem more like a Sagan than a Hawking to me.
Oh, for sure. I would be so thrilled if we found intelligent life in my lifetime. I dreamt of it as a child. I thought about it all the time. I mean, I'm a child of E.T. and Star Wars, and, you know, I was a sci-fi nut when I was a little kid. The idea, how much that would change on our planet just to have proof that there is other life in this galaxy, that'd be amazing.
I think we would fuck it up.
Well, there's no doubt we would fuck it up.
I'm the sort of person that believes, like, you know, maybe the alien race isn't terrible that comes. Like, maybe I don't believe entirely predator theory. I think there's probably a mix. I think you take everything on every scale, right? You take people in your town.
Yeah.
Some of them are really cool, and some of them are shitheads.
Right.
Take everybody in the country, on a planet. I think it probably goes out there, and I think anybody who's, you know, interstellar races, there are probably... There's probably a mix of altruistic ones and shitty ones, you know? But I think whoever we meet, I kind of believe in Sagan's idea that we're just not ready. I don't think we're ready.
Do you think we're ever going to be ready?
I don't know. Because it does change everything in a way that I don't think a lot of people are ready for. Because that's the sort of thing that shakes a lot of belief systems.
Oh, every belief
system. To the
system.
Core.
Yeah.
To the core. And I don't think we as a society are ready for that. I don't think we can even...
How cool would that be?
We can't even diplomatically deal with ourselves.
Oh, I know. But then if you have... Maybe it's sort of like another version of science fiction where if you have this common outside threat, all of a sudden the world unites and we're one people.
You have to have a common outside threat for that, though, and that's no good.
I mean, no, threat's a strong word. Force. Force? Common outside force? Common outside thing?
You're not convincing me that this is a good idea.
Well, if you have a lot of inside force and lots of space tank, and then we can fight them.
I don't know. I think there is definitely alien life out there. I think there has been alien life in the past, and there will be different alien life in the future. Like, I think the time scale of the universe, like, we've only been here for a few thousand years. I think the time scale of the universe is really weird.
Yeah.
It's that
Fermi Paradox episode we did way back when. It's a terrifying prospect when you dig deep into it and realize it can really only mean bad things. that we haven't already known about something else.
You go back and listen to that, because we touch on the great filter, which is like, hey, we've either made it farther than everyone, or we haven't made it to the point where everybody self-destructs themselves yet.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing, is like, if there are other races out there, like, are other alien species out there, like, we're just not, I just don't think we're ready. I think we're maybe, I think we're close to the great filter. because we've nearly killed ourselves.
We have nuclear weapons. We've unlocked that bit, and then the filter comes shortly after.
We have nearly killed ourselves off.
Yeah.
So many times.
Yeah.
So many times. We've nearly destroyed ourselves so many times that I think we're getting close to that one defining moment when most civilizations destroy themselves. That's the thing. And I think until we get to that sort of point, I don't know, until we can deal with each other, I don't want to meet an alien.
Fix the shit that's happening domestically before we, I don't know. I like the fact that we're listening all the time now. I love that they're working on this, because what if we don't just meet an alien? What if we just get an alien email?
What if we just capture an alien? We don't have to meet it. We don't have to speak to it. We don't have to look directly in its eyes.
Just shoot it.
What if we just experiment on it? What if we just figure out what makes them different from us?
Yeah. And then harvest their organs and maybe learn new technologies.
What if we just hurt them a little?
What if we just pinch them?
We're not ready.
Tickle.
We're not ready. Tickle them. We're not ready. I don't know. How do you guys feel about this? Are we ready to meet alien life? And do you think we should?
Yeah, that's the question. Should we be actively searching or just listening?
You can let us know on Twitter. I'm at A Carboni.
I'm at Jeff Cannata.
And you can hashtag those Space Tank. And hey, if you enjoy the show.
Oh, man, I really like this show.
I would hope so. Yeah, I would hope so. But if the people listening enjoy the show, there are two helpful things you can do for us.
Let's be honest. There's a lot of helpful things they could be doing.
I need a lot of help. But there are two main things that you can do for the show. The two biggest things you can do are go to Patreon, patreon.com/wehaveconcerns.
Yeah.
Support the show.
That's how we make the show, through your support.
And you can also go to iTunes or whatever platform you listen to the show on and give us a 5-star rating.
Yeah. We appreciate those 5-star ratings. They help with discoverability for the show.
They put us up in different categories. They put us on editorial, like, best of lists, and they help new concerned citizens find us. You know, they're going to ask you to write a review.
Oh, you don't need to do that. That's a waste of your time.
But what you can do is, like, in the space below, let us know, if you met an alien, how would you experiment on it?
What is your message for your alien friend?
Yeah, what's your methodology for experimenting on an alien? Let us know. And we will we'll see you next time. Bye. Bye, aliens.
I'm still here.